Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Christ child who is our peace. Our text today is recorded in Luke's Gospel. We're reading the second chapter beginning with the 25th verse. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And the feast was when it was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here ends our text. Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, you ever thought about what it would have been like to have lived during the time when Jesus lived and walked on earth, to be able to accompany him on his travels, watch him do miracles? Had we lived back then, I think there's one word that would have characterized our reaction on many an occasion: astonishment. There's something else that would have astonished us in addition to his mighty miracles: his teaching. We hear about that very thing happening to the people, their astonishment on quite a few occasions, like when he was teaching in the Capernaum synagogue. We're told that the people were astonished. Where did he get this wisdom? Unlike their teachers, the scribes, who were promoting chaff doctrines of men that had no foundation in Scripture, Jesus spoke authoritative wheat doctrines of Scripture that provided nourishment for their sin-famished souls. And again, we read that when he came to Nazareth and began to teach in the synagogue, many who heard him wondered where he acquired such remarkable wisdom. He whom they knew or supposed to be the son of Joseph and Mary, whom they had been acquainted with from the time he was a little child. Another instance of this is when Matthew informs us, after Jesus got done preaching his Sermon on the Mount, we're told that the crowds were utterly amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Here's a man with superior intellect who can get right at the heart of the things that matter, applying God's word to our hearts and lives in a meaningful and comforting way. Jesus, of course, did not perform his miracles or conduct his preaching ministry merely to astonish people. His supreme desire ever was to direct them to himself as their Savior, that they might put their trust in him. Now, the examples I mentioned, they all took place when Jesus was a grown-up. As we consider our text for today, we'll see that already at a tender age, he was astonishing people. And that's the subject the theme of our sermon today, the biblical account of the astonishing 12-year-old Jesus. And this is the only story we have, as you probably know, of Jesus' childhood days. From the time that the Magi came for a visit when Jesus was about 2, to the time when he started his ministry at age 30, the Bible provides no information about him. Just this story, in which we're told how Jesus and his parents were living up there in Nazareth. It was the time of the Passover, and according to the family custom, they traveled down the 70-mile journey to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And after it was over, Joseph and Mary headed back, the return journey up to Nazareth, went for about a day on the road when they became aware, where is Jesus? They just assumed he had joined up with the caravanning relatives, perhaps playing with the children. When they realized he was missing, they retraced their steps back to the city and searched for him frantically for 3 days. It's here, dear friends, that we are confronted by something truly remarkable, astonishing about Jesus. The place where they found him, the temple. Why was that astonishing that Jesus should be found there? Well, isn't it true that typical 12-year-olds would rather spend time like playing at the park or hanging out with kids their age, not going to church? I mean, if parents would give their children the option, shall we go to a movie with your friends or shall we go to church and learn something about the Lord? I think it's safe to say that at least lots of children would maybe choose the former. At least that's the way their nature would lead them. So we can understand, at least humanly speaking, why the temple was not the first place that Joseph and Mary looked for Jesus. Good lesson, however, that were provided in this part of the story where they found Jesus. They were so astonished to find him there, as he provides here with a pattern for our lives as his followers today to continue to make church attendance when we're able to be here together a regular pattern for our lives. As we think about another year of grace that's to come, the year 2022, to congregate here at God's house as often as we're able to. To say with David in the Psalms, Lord, I've loved the habitation of your house, the place where your honor dwells. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And there's one thing I've desired, and that is what I will seek to dwell in the house of the Lord, to inquire there in his temple. You know that passage also from Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the last day approaching. You know, later on when Jesus grew up to adulthood, we read the same thing about him. It was his regular habit to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He never missed an opportunity to be in his Father's house, to worship him, and to receive instruction from his word. Beautiful pattern for us, example that Jesus set in that regard. But returning to our story, let's focus on another astonishing aspect of it, really about Jesus. Earlier I mentioned that during his public ministry, when he preached to the people, he continually amazed them with his wisdom. Here we see he was doing that already as a young boy. We read, everyone who heard him there in the temple courts was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus, the 12-year-old, demonstrated a remarkable depth of knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, spiritual insight the likes of which was unheard of for boys his age. And certainly, and this is another of the lessons for our lives today that we can take home with us. One reason this was so is because his parents, as he grew up, made it their prime concern to provide Jesus with a thorough religious education. They taught Jesus Bible stories as he grew up, from the time he was little, helping Jesus to memorize Bible passages and to also learn and be instructed by the godly example that they set in their own eager and diligent desire to study the Word for themselves. Isn't that a wonderful teaching point for our lives as Christ's disciples today, that the Lord would have us as his people make the attainment of heavenly wisdom an essential part of our lives? And to know that the Holy Spirit's going to use our Bible reading, our Bible devotions at home, our gathering here at God's house to bless us and our children with increased knowledge of him and his life-giving word, bolstering for our faith and for our life of service to him, and in our appreciation, our strengthening of an appreciation for all that he in love has accomplished for us. In the story of our text, we read how Mary and Joseph, when they found their son in the temple after searching for him for those 3 days, expressed their dismay. "Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you, Jesus. How could you do this?" Mary believed Jesus had done her and Joseph wrong in staying behind in the temple, let them down. But of course we know, don't we, that Jesus had not done wrong. They should not have left the city, for one thing, without checking to make sure that their son was along with them in the crowd. And they didn't have any reason to be filled with any worries about Jesus, that like the Heavenly Father was going to in some way let anything happen to his son which would keep him from fulfilling his messianic mission. Had Mary forgotten what the angel Gabriel had said to her in announcing Jesus' birth? "The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, the Messiah." Apparently she had at least momentarily forgotten that. Joseph, had he forgotten what the angel told him in that dream? "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Had they forgotten what Simeon had said when they had brought in their infant child at the age of 8 days to present him to the Lord in that very temple, and how Simeon had testified how their child would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel? You know, they should have known, and they did know, but they had forgotten that this is no ordinary child. He is a very special father in a very special sense. So no cause for worry. And that's why Jesus said, "Why is it that you've sought me? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" Another fascinating thing about the child Jesus that we want to take note of this morning, we are told that upon leaving the temple, he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. So Jesus continued, this is amazing, pretty astonishing, as he had always done from the time he was little, to show to his parents, his stepfather and to Mary, love, honor, respect, and obedience. Astonishing thing about Jesus, already at the age of 12, he realized how important it was to fulfill every commandment of God's law as our substitute. In this case, the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. And when he had stayed behind in the temple and shown love for God's word, he was keeping for us the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He had to do this, all the commandments, to serve as our holy Savior and to compensate for all of our failures to love God's word as we ought and to honor our parents as we should from the time we were little, even to old age. What a remarkable Savior we have. And one last detail of the story I'd like to call to your attention in the very last verse, where Luke records that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Particularly those first few words, Jesus increased in wisdom. You might wonder, how could God's Son increase in wisdom? Did he not already possess the attribute of omniscience, knowing all things? Remember what Peter said to Jesus the days after Easter on the shoreline of Lake Galilee, when Peter said, or Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know all things. You know that I love you." So the Bible's answer is yes, Jesus possessed omniscience. But this is a mystery. It's an inscrutable truth of the Holy Scriptures that the Son of God chose in love to divest himself of the full use of his divine attributes during his time on earth. So even though he possessed qualities of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, and all the other divine attributes during his time on earth, yet to serve us, he emptied himself of their full use. And so it can be said that Jesus, the Son of God, grew in wisdom. He had to learn things as he grew up, as we all have had to do. He went through all the stages of childhood, same as other children do. The first noticing of things around him in the world as a baby, the first babbling of a word, mama, the first unsteady steps taken as a tyke, learning how to walk, learning how to make things out of wood from his stepfather Joseph, who was a carpenter, and as mentioned before, receiving instruction in God's word, the first memorizing of a psalm, first prayers learned, and learning of the stories of the Bible. What we're emphasizing in this, my friends, is that Jesus' state of humiliation, that's the time from his conception by the Holy Spirit to his descent and to his burial, that was something very real for him. We may have a tendency to focus on the wonders of Jesus being true God, and so we should, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. But let us not forget, he also was and is true man, born under the law to fulfill it as our substitute, and so that he might then also finally die for us on Calvary's holy mountain. So let us glorify Jesus then for the great love that he's shown to us throughout his earthly sojourn. May we adore him for his astonishing birth of a virgin, for the remarkable teachings that he presented and still presents to us today in Scripture, for the life of holiness he lived for us, for his atoning death, and for his triumphant resurrection. All of which prove beyond a doubt he is our all-sufficient, all-gracious Savior, and we by faith have now been received. We've been adopted into his family. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.